This is Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5, the most comprehensive racing report on the radio. From the dirt to the dragway, from karts to NASCAR, if it's racing, it's covered. Here's our host, racetrack announcer and race car driver Kane, with a Full Throttle Racing report.
Hey, good morning, everybody. We are finally here. It is race weekend along the Gulf Coast and worldwide. Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. And thank you, as always, to the sponsors. They're the only way we could do this show. Mobile International Speedway, Deep South Speedway, the big dirt track, and, of course, Sunny South Raceway. So, huge show today. We've got new sponsors to tell you about on Hurricane Motorsports. Exactly. Very excited about that with the Snowball Derby. Also standing by, Rick Crawford from Mobile International Speedway. We're going to wrap up the Lee Fields Memorial Weekend, talk about September 22nd, the big Super Seal U.S.-Canadian shootout. This thing's going to be huge. Also, the Bombers return tonight to Joe McArdle's Sunny South Raceway. A big night there. All the cars from the Pro Challenge, Bandos, Legends, the Stingers, even the Mighty Mites will be there. Joe standing by there. And again, a big, big week in NASCAR as the chase starts in Chicago. Dustin Long with SI.com and USAtoday.com. We're going to talk a little bit about how that starts with the Geico 400. Also, big changes safety-wise with the cars next year. They're going to do some added bars in the roll cage. Talk about that. And Junior's had a busy week. Sees a cutback in his sponsorship. Now the National Guard still stays on. And also, did you see that open letter he wrote to a 16-year-old self that CBS did? Very touching and moving and something that he wasn't comfortable doing, but was kind of pushed by his PR people. We'll talk a little bit about that. But we go back and we talk about last weekend, and there's one name that sticks out for the whole weekend that just dominated for Mobile International Speedway. Rick Crawford's on the phone live from Iowa, as you're doing your thing, but how about Bubba Pollard, four-time winner of the Lee Fields? Good morning, Rick.
Yeah, he's got it under control right now, and especially pro late model, super late model racing. Anywhere he goes along the Gulf Coast, Bubba Pollard's a threat to win, and he is being dominated. But I tell you what, September 22nd, next Saturday, folks, he's going to have his hands full. There'll be drivers coming from Colorado, Canada, the North, the Indy, Indiana, Nashville area, and then he's got to reckon with all the reckon with all the drivers along the Gulf Coast. So he's going to have his work cut out for him next Saturday.
Well, I tell you what, he has always called that place his house, and he'll definitely defend it, and it'll be interesting to see. Yeah, now, this is a great thing that your truck sponsor has helped out with, and again, for the fans, explain what the Super Seal U.S.-Canadian shootout is. It involved a race in Canada. The winner has an opportunity to possibly come down here and win and maybe drive actually one of the NASCAR trucks. So tell us about this.
Yeah, absolutely. Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, is a place up there called Auto Clearing Speedway, and it was the Super Seal 200. Chris Skelton won the race. He's coming to Mobile. He drives a Hamke car. Wes Burton, his crew chief out of North Carolina, so he'll be coming to Mobile International Speedway for the Super Seal 150 next Saturday, which also pays $10,000 to win. Now, he won $10,000 in Canada.
Amazing.
So, and he's not using any of that to get to Mobile because his expenses are paid by Super Seal.
Wow.
Super Seal's bringing him to Mobile. He'll be in the field, and if he runs in the top three, he'll be guaranteed a ride in Martinsville approved by NASCAR.
Wow.
For the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series race probably in about a month.
Wow.
Now, if he doesn't run in the top three, mm-hmm. you got to come out and watch us, folks. Whoever wins will have the same opportunity to go to Martinsville to drive a truck. Now, and I've talked this over with Ted. I said, Ted, look here. I said, a lot of our super late model drivers aren't 18.
Oh, yeah?
So they're not approved by NASCAR. I said, like a Kyle Benjamin, Chase Elliott, mm-hmm. so forth, just like that. He says, tell you what we'll do. If I say Kyle Benjamin wins the Super Seal 150 in Mobile,
yeah.
he's going to guarantee him an opportunity when he gets 18 to run the Super Seal truck in Martinsville or wherever he wants to run it in the short track. So yeah. I think that's pretty cool.
That's beyond cool. There is no track, no promoter that can put that together besides you, Rick, with that. That is an incredible deal. And what an opportunity. I can see why you've got drivers from all over the country buying for this. I mean, this is a national race that you're bringing to the track, and I guarantee you, fans, it'll be standing room only. But not only will you have that race, but you've got also the local divisions. You've got your Alabama Pipe and Supply Modifieds, which racing's been intense all year long. Also, one of my favorite classes, Bob Speedshop Sportsman, this year put on great great races, and the Automotor 2 Bomber is also close to my heart like yours, because obviously we've got a four-car team over there racing in it, and that's where you started. So this is going to be a big night on September 22nd.
And now I got a one-car team over there. I got Colin Kraft running in the Bomber Division. First real race this past weekend in Leafield Memorial, and he finished in the top five, and I was really proud of him.
And he looked good out there, and he kept his nose clean. I mean, he was the cars looked pretty tight, man. He looked good. So hopefully, I know.
Showing early signs of talent. I'm very proud of
him. Oh, well, that's what it's all about. Well, let's talk about you guys had a sponsor come on board, and also it was Jegs for this last race. And talk about the relationship that you've seen now with Bubba Pollard. Now, he's got a different car, different colors. It's Jegs. What do you think is an opportunity here for Bubba and Jegs together? Because I know there's some things that I don't think have been announced. I kind of know what's going on next year, but they're still trying to piece together. This could be a big opportunity for Bubba to maybe make it to the next level if that's where he wants to take it. Don't you think, Rick?
Well, I tell you, all the Jegs family, Jegs Coughlin, Troy Coughlin, Jegs Coughlin, on down the line, a lot of generations of Coughlins are out there right now, and they need help on their short track program, and who better to help them than Bubba Pollard? So Bubba gets the ride. He's got the Jegs sponsorship, which he's trying to build a relationship with Jegs, and at the same time, he comes out and he wins. He puts Jegs, on the top of the pole, and so what a great deal to have a relationship like that. And I look down the road, maybe a Jegs maybe in our ARCA race under the Bubba Pollard banner, because he ran the first one. I think he might come back, run March the 9th, folks.
Yes.
The Mobile ARCA 200 returns to Louisville National Speedway. Just made the announcement last week, but I'm really excited about that also.
Well, and for fans who weren't able to go, get your tickets early because it was almost a sellout. There was a standing room only in the stands. The pits were completely full, and it had the feel of an NASCAR race. But I tell you what, it was a good race because these cars really complemented the track, Rick.
Oh, absolutely. Special event. I mean, we had a lot of things going on, but
I've seen things on the racetrack that I didn't expect. I've seen three full-wide racing, sideways, all this kind of stuff, buying for the lead between Grant Enfield and Tailgale. What a storybook ending for Tailgale to win. And what a nice cover that's going to make on our program this year. So I'm looking forward to that. And it's going to be another great event, a great race, put on by Mobile.
Hey, Rick, I hate to do it, but your phone just cut out really bad, and we can hardly understand you. Can you, like, kick it or something really quick? Shake it. Hey, there you go. Hey, now it's back.
Am I back? All right. So maybe I just turned my head wrong or something.
Well, again, you're not around here. You're in Iowa for the truck race. Tell us, there's a driver that locally races around here. Now, you're helping another driver. We'll talk about that in just a second. But Augie Grill, and actually, Augie is first time. He's got an all-black truck out there. Tell us about how he got this ride and what he's doing up there. This is exciting for him.
You know, years ago, the Grills with Grand American Race Cars built short track cars for Turner Motorsports back in the day before it ever was established, to Turner Motorsports, basically. And nobody knew Steve Turner.
Yeah.
So Turner, I think, is just paying back maybe a favor. Maybe, you never know, James Buescher might be coming in for the Snowball Derby. And so Augie Grill has an opportunity to run a Turner Motorsports truck this weekend in Iowa, number four. Be on television tonight. I believe it starts at 8:30 on speed. So keep an eye on Augie because he was 15th fastest yesterday in practice and looked really good all day.
Man, now you're up there also helping. Who are you helping out?
I'm helping Ryan Lynch. He's a rookie out of Texarkana, Texas. Last time I heard of Texarkana, Texas, there was a bootlegger going out there and getting Coors beer and bringing it back to Atlanta called Smokey the Bandit.
That's right.
But anyway, Ryan Lynch is a good guy. He was really excited yesterday. He learned a lot. He ran the ASA race last night. And he's coming back tonight to run the truck, and I'm looking forward to it and giving him a shot. And he's racing. He's going to race all night long, and I hope he does good and has a good time and enjoys himself.
Yeah, not a start and park. He's rolling. That's what we like to hear. October 13th, I know you got to go. We'll go here in just a minute. There's just a lot to talk about. You still got a lot of racing packed in this next month. 50-lap Polaris Sportsman Challenge. This is huge, Polaris stopping by. And this is a remake schedule on October 13th.
Yeah, you know, after we lost the race due to rain, Polaris stepped in to sponsor the Sportsman Challenge along with the Four Points Biloxi Beach Hill resort down there across from the Beau Rivage.
Great hotel.
And they still kept their end of the bargain there, so we got to mention those folks. And But anyway, if we move on a little further, we know we got Halloween Havoc for our last Demolition Derby at the end of the year. But October 1st, folks, I got to mention this. If you bought a ticket for last year's ARCA race, if you bought a camping spot down in the infield area or reserved seat during the ARCA race, you can renew that ticket. You got 30 days to renew that ticket, and the rest of the tickets will go on sale on November 1. So we're allowing the folks that that had a ticket last year for the race 30 days to renew their ticket again. So I think that's a great idea, and we're giving guys that enjoyed that race time to come back and see it again.
It's going to be neat because you're going to have a lot of these ARCA drivers on the off season coming back to test. So the track will be busy, and I saw on the website at the end of the year you've already got the championship banquet set up for November 10th.
Well, we decided, why hold the money? Why hold the money for all the competitors? I'd love to see the competitors have the money for the Snowball Derby. I'd love to see the competitors have the money for Christmas, things like that. So the sponsors of each division, puts up the point fund money. Sunoco puts up the point fund money for the late models and super late. And it's like, let's go ahead and have our banquet, award our champions. And congratulations to Josh Bragg, BRG Motorsports. Yep. Set on the pole last week, finished third in the Pro Late Model Lee Field 150. And he's our Pro Late Model Champion for 2012.
Yeah, it was great racing. And I tell you, the guy he beat, Bryce Dulabon, I've got him on coming on. And you got to give props to Bryce and his orange shirt crew that you saw in the fans every year, or every race up there in the stands. And they were just as loud as Jenny Todd.
He's going to be a force also at Mobile National Speedway. He's going to be a champion. And I look for him to be a champion next year and years to come, and that he's one of those talents that's going to go right on up the ladder, like maybe a Cale Gayle, Grant Enfinger, those guys, and he's not going to be stoppable. I'm telling you, he's not going to sit tight in Mobile, Alabama. So, folks, when Bryce Dulabon on the racetrack, come out and watch him run, because he won't be here long.
That's so true. Rick, I know you got to go, and so do we. You have a great weekend. Good luck in the truck race, and have a lot of fun, and I can't wait to talk and see you guys next weekend at the racetrack. Be safe out there, Rick.
Hey, thanks, Kane. We're Full Throttle, buddy. Wide open in Iowa.
All right. All the way live from Iowa, Rick Crawford. Hang on, more racing. And those bombers that race at MIS, I've already got about a 12-car count, it looks like, and they're coming to Sunny South Raceway. Hang on. We'll talk about it next. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Later today, podcast at usfdracing.org. That's the race team that Hurricane Motorsports has kind of teamed up with. And we race for the volunteer firemen, the EMTs, and just a lot of those guys have to raise money to have these volunteer fire departments. And a lot of them at the tracks like Mobile International Speedway, Sunny South, Five Flags, all those are all volunteers. So something to consider. Hey, I want to give props to the driver. He Facebooked me, Rick Tipton, says, hey, don't forget to talk about the trucks and how great they were at Lee Fields. And he did a great job, actually led lots of laps. So Rick has got an awesome paint job. He's got a he's got cancer awareness and also the Penelope House. And that reminds me that we've got a brand new paint job that we're bringing to Hurricane Motorsports. The team's going to go pink for the Snowball Derby for breast cancer awareness. The American Cancer Society has come on board for the Snowball Derby with us. And I've got a sponsor that's going to be painting the car. I've got to finalize that before we give them some airtime, but I want to make sure that it's going to happen. All three cars will have a special paint scheme. Now, we're bringing them tonight to Sunny South Raceway, and Joe McCardle standing by, and he has got the circus coming. Not only the bombers, but you got every division again. How about it? Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, King. Good morning. How are we doing?
Oh, doing great. Now, I'm excited again because I'll be returning to hopefully take another trophy home. One of the closest race finishes at the history of your track, especially with the bombers, you had to go back between Jerry Goff and I and actually look at the transponder to see who won the race. That's how close it was last time the bombers visit.
For sure. And like I said before, I'm glad we had the transponder.
Yeah, you could. You would have not been able to tell. Would have been, something.
Right.
But, well, and you've got it tonight, and you've done something special. You've taken a price down for the bombers. We were just talking off the air. In between 8 and 12 bombers are already saying they're going to be there tonight. So for the bomber drivers coming out, and we got a lot in Pensacola that have been listening also, what are you doing for the drivers to get them out, and why are we coming?
All right, tonight, it not only being the last shot or the last chance for bombers, we have waived the $10 transponder fee and let you come in for the one-time gate fee. and hope it works out for everybody. But Sunny South is going to do what they can to help out when they can.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know. And we, the, you know, it costs a little bit extra because when we bring the V8s in these bombers, your insurance actually goes up, and so it costs several hundred dollars more just for us to bring this show to you. So you would definitely want to make sure we got a car count. And I tell you, last time we came, there was not many seats in the stands.
Yes, sir. Y'all done a tremendous job. You look real good with your fans and your support. And Sunny South was glad. We were glad you showed up. We're glad you're coming back tonight. We appreciate it.
Well, I can't wait because you've got one of my favorite classes. This is the new guys, the Mighty Mites, and I'm enjoying watching these guys. And the fans are really getting into it, too. These are young kids starting at 4 years old with no experience in those caged carts or the champ carts. And I tell you what, some of them are kind of getting some speed, and they're not afraid to dive down in front of the other guy. I'm like, there was a 4 or 5 car pileup starting the race the other time. I was like, dang. These guys are ready to go.
Yeah. You know, Kane, I tell everybody, you had to be there the first of the year to appreciate what we're doing now.
Yeah.
We had some guys that didn't know what stop means, didn't know a flag. Man. And the worst, you know, the biggest pileup or the biggest wreck we had was slowing them down.
Yeah.
But now, you know, they've matured. They're not perfect. But then again, who is that puts on a helmet?
That's
but,
so true.
You know, they're not perfect, but they have come a long way, and they are excited. They're 48 years old with no prior racing experience. You can't beat them. They're the Mighty, Mighty Mites.
Well, you have a huge event that Hurricane Isaac took away from you. It was the Bandolero Nationals. It's been rescheduled, and you've got a lot of phone calls, a lot of drivers coming back. Tell us the schedule for that.
All right. I'm glad to say again, Sunny South is hosting this year's Bandolero Nationals.
Huge.
We are looking forward to 60 cars. We will take 50, and these are the professionals in this class. It's the Bandits and Outlaws. We will open up next Friday, the 21st, I think it is, and at noon. We'll have a 4-hour practice for Bandoleros. We'll shut the place down and go back out front, open it back up, and we'll come in and run a regular Friday night show next Friday night. All divisions, Mighty Mites will be back again. Okay, Saturday we'll get up, open the track at noon again, practice, and we will run heats and features. We'll run 240 lap features in each class. We'll only run two classes, but nothing but Bandoleros. Like I say, you haven't seen nothing until you see these double-deck trailers, motorhomes, come in this parking lot.
NASCAR haulers.
Unload 3 Bandoleros. It's unreal, man. It's unreal.
Well, that's
some big teams.
Yeah, that's and that, it looks like NASCAR haulers down there, and that's a reason why another with the rescheduling of it, you've got the parking lot. You're going to need all that parking because, again, we've talked about it. You've got people from all over the country coming to race because this is a major event. This is the Nationals, and a lot of bragging rights just to be in the Nationals to come participate. But beyond that, what an honor it is for you guys to have the track, and I love your track. It's a fun track to race at, family-friendly, and I've said it every single time. I will put it down on my heart that you guys have the best hamburgers and hot dogs and meals there at the best prices.
Bar none.
So tonight, let's talk about the other classes. The Legends will be there. You've had some great car counts, Stingers as well, Pro Challenge.
Sir.
Tell us about what we're going to see in some of these different classes.
Well, the Stingers, we have some outside people coming in. We're supposed to have a couple dirt racers come down tonight.
Interesting.
And you know how it is at the end of the year.
Oh, yeah.
We have certain people come over from other tracks saying what they can do, a little smack going on all week. We got one dude coming in that's going to beat the number 11 car, Lance Woods. And Lance Woods, you know, being the race driver he is, he said, bring them on.
Oh, here we go. It's going to be a little beating banging.
Bring them on. Yeah, so, and we got the Stings built up. We got the Pro Challenge to be there tonight. The Legends will be back. We got Hunter Lewis, who took over the points lead last race, coming back. Lundy out of Mississippi, and hopefully Brad West. And then we had the Bandos, which the local group here, the Bombers, as we talked about. But it's a big night tonight. It's the last Saturday night regular program for the year.
Yeah.
We have two more, one more race out of this for the regular divisions.
Mm-hmm.
and hopefully we'll pull it off and everybody have fun.
Well, and I know it will be. Now, to find the track, if you're down Highway 90 going, you go past Mobile International Speedway, and it's going to be a little bit further, about another 6 or 7 miles. If you're coming off the interstate, what's the best way to find the track in Grand Bay?
All right, come off the interstate. You get off on exit 4, mm-hmm. exit to your right, get in the left-hand lane, go across the top again, follow that road till it dead ends. There'll be a light at the end of it. You hang a left, which is old Highway 90, go back east 3 miles, and we'll be on your left, right next door to the Grand Bay Community Center. We're facing Highway 9. You can't miss us. We're there.
And the gates open at 4. You'll have an open practice from, I believe, 4:30 to 6:30 and racing around 7. Isn't that how it rolls?
Well, we open the gates at 4. Okay. We give you the track from 4:30 to 6:30. Okay. We shut her down, do qualifying, and we start racing promptly at 8.
And for the Bombers, we had some questions. One more thing, and then we'll let you go because I know you got to get to the track. Mm-hmm. You're going to do regular qualifying for them. 2 laps. You come to the green, then you get a white and checkered for qualifying tonight for Bombers, correct?
Yeah, we'll change up a little bit to suit the Bombers tonight.
Well, let me ask you, how's your son doing? There's something that a lot of people don't know about. Your son's been struggling for a while, and I want to kind of check on his health.
Son Brian has lost his last remaining kidney. He's on dialysis. As you know, he was a kidney transplant 13 years ago. His mother gave him a kidney. We got 2 children born with rare kidney disease. I give my kidney to my daughter, and my wife gives her kidney to the son. And he kept it for 13 years. He's home now. He's on dialysis at home. He's starting to gain his strength back.
Good, that's a blessing.
There's a little concern there. You know how you can get down on yourself and your spirits get down a little bit. And that was our big thing. And I go get him every Saturday and Sunday and spend the day with him and get him out of the house. But he is better. He keeps coming to the racetrack. He can't race anymore. He run 2 races this year, and that was it. And
he still can be there and support it and be a part of it.
He's still there, support, in pain. He's got that tube in his stomach. You know, I don't mean to make it sound real bad.
But it is.
We're lucky the way things are, and we'll continue to be lucky. And I'd like to take the time right now to thank everybody who has asked about him and who said a prayer for him. I appreciate it. And things will get better. We will come out of this.
Well, let me ask you, Joe, if I want to donate, how does a fan or a friend, how does a family member go about trying to see if they are able to donate their kidney?
There's a phone number, which I can't remember the quote. I don't know the number. There's a phone number my wife knows on this. If you call UAB, and they'll set you up with a kit. You know, they'll check your blood, your type blood, and it's what it is. They appreciate what you want to do, but they get in and ask all these personal questions, why you do it, yada, yada, yada. It's not as simple as you think, and there's reasons behind all that. But there's a way you go toward doing that and getting tested everything. And we've had several people here that's already done it for Brian, and things didn't work out.
Well, I think it's something strong, and I know there's other racers in the community that have gone through this and fans of the show that talk about it. So, as always, we definitely send prayers and thoughts, and I look forward to seeing you both tonight at the racetrack, my friend.
Well, I certainly appreciate what people have said about my son, called about my son, and we will come out of this.
Guarantee it. All right, there's Joe McArdle, and he's a busy man. He's heading out right now to the track to get it all ready. So, again, just heartwarming stuff. And for a mother and father to share part of their body to keep their children, I mean, come on. Get yourself tested. How about it? Coming up next, Dustin Long from SI.com and USAtoday.com. How about NASCAR beginning the chase into Windy City? Are you ready, Chicago? Here they come. Also next, Bryce Dulavon, the driver of the 28, got second in the Pro Late Model Challenge, or not challenge, but championship points at MIS. What a great year and a great career he's had. We're going to talk to Bryce next. Hang on. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you to the sponsors, Mobile International Speedway and Sunny South Raceway. Hey, Hurricane Motorsports tonight taking three of our bombers over to Sunny South Raceway, and we've got two new sponsors. Got to thank them so much. Maryland Racing coming on board for Five Flag Speedway, and she's going to be really proud of that pink paint job that we're bringing out on a couple of the bombers. Also, Tropical Smoothie Cafes in Mobile. We're going to have a couple of those guys with us next weekend at Mobile International Speedway, so fans, you'll get some free grub from us, some shirts, and also some cool stuff from Aaron's, as always. So this next guy coming up has had just a I don't hear him. Oh no, hold on, live radio, it's best. Hold on a second, let's see, where did he go? Okay, we're gonna get Bryce Dulabon a call back. Hold on a minute, see if he's here. He was holding, and this Radio Shack equipment must have fallen through. We'll just give him a call here live. Bryce Dulabon is actually going to be on the phone. Hey, sorry about that, man. I still want to do the interview. Didn't mean to hang up on you, buddy. Hey, Bryce, you're joining us on the air this morning, and I was just about to say, you had a great year this year in the late model, but your career has been an amazing journey. You started off with karts. You did Legends. You actually ran a couple, if I'm not mistaken, modifieds for a while, even in Pensacola, and now what a great year you had in your late model to finish second behind Josh Brand. Congratulations to that team, and obviously 7 years since the championship. But it's your turn, the number 28. The Orange Black needs to be up there. Talk about your year and what you got planned.
Yeah, we had a good year. We didn't even plan on running a late model a whole lot. We were just going to run some sportsman races and bring out the late model a little bit and get ready for next year. But it just worked out to where I was leading the points, and we made our bed. Yeah. We were just going to run it, but our plans, you know, next year, just maybe find some funding and, you know, just run a little bit more races.
Yeah, and now the season's essentially over for you at Mobile International Speedway, but you have plans for the races for the rest of the season. Where are you heading other tracks?
We're talking about heading to Op. Oh, yeah. And maybe running the Snowflake is maybe the next two races we have lined up. We don't have anything for sure. I'm sure we'll run something, but we just have to look at all the schedules from the tracks. But that's our plan so far.
Well, that's amazing that you actually didn't even plan on running the late model. You still, like I said, had a great year in the Sportsman. You had 1 year, and then you jumped up to the late models, and you were really kind of playing with it. But like you said, you did so good, and you guys kind of shocked yourself. But, man, go through the Lee Fields, bad luck, I'm telling you. And we were talking, I thought it was four flat tires, but no, four broken rims in a 150-lap race. What happened?
Yeah, the welds and stuff were breaking on our rims. Man, we had a flat tire all year. And then the happened in that race, the one that decides the championship. But I thought we had, I know we had a car that could win. Mm-hmm. There in the beginning, we were just riding, saving our stuff. And then we started to go and had a rim break. And then after that, we just had one after another break. We couldn't catch a break.
That is crazy. I mean, that's just the classic bad luck when you just don't need it. So you guys had a good run again this year. And talk about the fans that you've had, because I'm telling you, every time I would do the announcing, and you can hear them, they're loud. Those orange shirt crew, the people in the stands really appreciate what you're doing. You got a lot of family members out there, but you also got some sponsors that are helping too.
Yeah, we got a lot of fans. There's more people after every race come up to me, don't even know who they are. You know, we thank for their support. And
makes you feel good, yeah, doesn't it?
Yeah, real good. And we got a lot of help. Pitt & Sons, Hooney's, Auto Sales, M&M Investigations, Young Transport, James Taylor. All of them help us out a lot, and we couldn't do it without them.
Well, Bryce, how old are you?
I'm 16.
You're 16. Go to Fairholme High School. Let me ask you something. What does it mean to be racing on a weekend like that? How do your fellow friends and students think about you being a superstar race car driver at your age? Is that pretty cool? I mean, what do they treat you any different?
No. To be honest with you, a whole lot of them don't know, but that I race. there's a few that know I race. Yeah, I usually stay pretty busy doing it. I miss a few school days here and there. But
yeah, darn right.
Yeah, it's I enjoy it. It's fun. It gives me something to do. It's a lot different than most kids say. I'm always doing something different while they're always hanging out or at a football game or doing school activities.
But that's your choice. That's what you want to do. You're looking for the extra tenth of a second on a race car, aren't you?
Yeah, I love racing. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Well, how'd you get started? Was it in your family? I know, like I said, we talked about karts. I remember when I was racing karts, you were racing karts. So I remember bumping into you many years ago back then, and just to see your progress to hit some of the same tracks that we've raced at, it's been pretty cool. How'd you get it all started?
Well, my dad and my Uncle Bronson. My Uncle Bronson, you know, helps us out a ton. I couldn't I couldn't race without him and my dad. And they used to race dirt track way back. And then when I turned the age of six, my dad bought me a go-kart from Bo Martin.
Oh, yeah.
Who's been around and still is around racing today. Mm-hmm. And we bought my first kart from him. And then, man, just kept running and moving up every week, trying to just get better and race as much as we can.
Well, who's on the, who would you say is your crew chief, and what kind of advice are you getting during the races? You know, obviously you've got that radio communication. Are you a talker? Or are you just more concentrating on racing? I know some guys jibber jabber and then some barely even hit the microphone.
Yeah, we got Daryl Leachman and Gary Barnes help us a ton, setting us up, and Daryl spots for me. He's, I don't talk a whole lot. Daryl, he gets you motivated. He gets you going. That's, he's awesome at it. He's, real good person to have on your radio, get you pumped up. And I like I said, I don't talk a whole lot. I just kind of listen to him and just get in my groove and race hard as I can.
Well, how did you pick the number 28 for your car?
Davey Allison.
That's my boy. Same reason we did it. I knew I liked you, boy.
Yep. And I guess when I was young, you know, I didn't know a whole lot about it. But, you know, having the number 28, I've done my research and looked back and, you know, that's just the number we came up with. You know, I like it.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, I tell you what, the fans dig it. They love you to death. You did a great job this year. We wish you best of luck at Snowflake. One more question, because I know you've got to go and you've got a busy day, but I want to ask you, as a 16-year-old, still kind of young, but there are younger drivers getting started, and I think a piece of wisdom or advice from you would be just perfect for some of these young listeners. So do you have something? If someone's just getting started, and you can give advice to older folks too, just getting started in this racing community of ours, what would be the one piece of advice you would tell them?
Yeah, even if they're just getting started in cars, just keep running and never give up. You can always just, you know, people, your family may not have a lot of money, but you keep racing and try hard. If somebody out there will see you, and you'll get help along the way just to advance your goals and set your goals pretty high and just try to reach them.
Yeah, that's perfect, Bryce. I can't wait to see you back on the track, especially for the Snowflake. Congratulations on a great run this year, and we look forward to seeing you back on the track.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you for having me on the show.
Oh, all the time, man. No problem. I knew I liked him. The number 28, Davey. All right. That's we'll call him Bryce Davey Allison Dulabon. That's his new nickname. Hey, coming up next, we switch gears, heading up to the big windy city up north, Chicago. Are you ready for the Geico 400? It's time to go chase racing NASCAR with SI.com and USAToday.com's Dustin Long is next. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Hey, a reminder, tomorrow at Five Flags Speedway, right after church from noon to 4, make sure to swing by. They're doing the drifting practice. I think they're going to have some dubstep DJ out there, and I'll be announcing, which is also fun. And if you've never seen it, it's just like you see in the movies. They open up the road course, and it's going to be pretty cool. Noon to 4, it's only $10 to go trackside. You can get right up next to these cars. 40 if you want to drift, so you can bring your mom's minivan if you want. We'll put you out there. That's cool. We don't mind it. But I got helmets out there. If you want to actually go in a ride in a drifting car tomorrow, I can hook that up. You just come see me when we're announcing. So noon to 4 at Five Flags Speedway. All right, coming up, NASCAR. All right, the chase is set. The people have made it in. Now they take it up to the Windy City of Chicago, Geico 400. And, well, a lot of good stuff going on in the media this week as they're prepping for this. A lot of good pictures and interesting stories. And now we've got SI.com's and USAToday.com's Dustin Long. Hey, good morning and welcome back, buddy.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey,
so this whole drifting thing, isn't this kind of like basically that's basically how you drove through your entire teenage years?
You know, and actually, last weekend at the Lee Fields Memorial, I was probably drifting more than anything. We had a gas leak over my right tire, so I was just sliding around. So I'm actually pretty good at it. I've never drifted. Maybe I need to take the car out there. Good thinking, Dusty. Hey, I want to ask you a very serious question as we get started. Have you started growing your Jeff Gordon retro mustache?
I haven't shaven this morning, but it's not because of that.
Okay.
I'm not doing the old school stash or whatever. I guess now he's got.
Yeah.
I saw on Twitter where they've now got T-shirts out about that.
Yeah, I saw that.
So,
I gotta get one. I might just have to get the old stash. But it looks funny. I mean, I saw some of the pictures he tweeted, and it's all over Facebook and stuff. But now we want to talk about it. The guys are all set up. They're ready for the Geico 400. Getting into the Windy City. What's the big story this weekend?
Well, I mean, obviously, it's the beginning of the chase. So everything ramps up, and, you know, just trying to get off to a good start. You remember last year, you know, Tony Stewart not confident about his chances going into the chase, wins Chicago on a fuel mileage gamble. And, you know, it kind of helped thrust that team, you know, carry that team and build some momentum. And even for all the things that were going on behind the scenes, as we'd later learn about, you know, him parting ways with Darian Grubb, a decision being made during the chase but not being announced till toward the end. So there's a lot of things. And I think it was, you know, I think it was Stewart was saying that, you know, if you finish like 40th or you crash out at the opening race of the chase, it almost feels like you've got to climb back up Mount Everest to get back in the points race. So, in essence, these guys want to do as well as they can in Chicago, but also in the back of their mind is, you know, to minimize any problems or minimize any bad finishes, because you do not want to get off to a bad start. Now, it's not like you can't come back. Jimmy Johnson came back 1 year from a really poor finish in the opening race of the chase. That was a different point system. Mm-hmm. He showed you can do it, but it certainly took a tremendous amount of effort. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, a lot of interesting storylines is, you know, Dale Jr., this is his best chance to win the championship probably ever, you know, really at least since 2004. You know, you've got guys like, you know, Denny Hamlin with the most wins. Can, you know, can he rebound from his 2010 disappointment when, you know, he lost the championship at Homestead to Jimmy Johnson? Does Jimmy reclaim his title after losing it to Stewart last year? Does somebody else jump up there? You know, there's a lot of different storylines. You know, frankly, you know, the guy I picked to win the championship a little bit, you know, not what most people are picking, but I picked Greg Biffle to win. I like a lot of things that they've done on the mile and a half. Half the chase races are on those type of tracks. Obviously, he's got some issues at Martinsville where he's not as good. He's gotten better. And I think that things could kind of play into his way. But, you know, he's got to be good at some of these big tracks starting in Chicago. And he's even said, you know, feels like this is probably his best track or probably one of his best opportunities in the chase to get a win this weekend. So that was going into the weekend, so we'll see.
That brings up another question. I've had several fans come to me on Facebook and talk to me at the tracks locally that, you know, why don't they have different tracks set up? Why don't they have another road course, another short track set up in the chase? Why are they all the cookie-cutter tracks? So why don't they mix it up a little bit?
Well, part of it is because of, you know, these are the bigger markets.
Yeah,
Chicago, Kansas City, Texas, Miami, the Homestead area, mm-hmm. Charlotte. Darlington used to be in the chase, and frankly, Darlington, if I was putting 10 tracks together to put the chase, I would put Darlington in the chase because it's such a challenge for the drivers, but Darlington's not a major market. Mm-hmm. It's not a huge population center. So that's why you're not going to see Darlington. Even though Bristol holds 160,000 people, you're not going to see Bristol because, for the most part, those folks like having that August night race. That's a tradition. They get in the chase. It gets deeper into the year. And, you know, weather's usually pretty good in September in the evenings, but you never know. It gets a little bit more iffy at times. So, you know, they like where they're at there. I don't think that they will move. Road course. You know, frankly, I'm against having a road course in the chase, unless they add another road course to the entire schedule.
That makes sense.
Because right now they've got two road courses. If you put one in the chase, that means the first road course counts 1/26. It's one out of 26 races in importance. But then the road course in the chase counts for 1/10 in importance. You're giving a tremendous amount more weight to a road course race in the chase than what its value during the regular season. So now if they add a third road course, then put two in the regular season, put one in the chase, that's fine. But just having one in the regular season, one in the chase, doesn't work for me.
I'm brilliant. I've got an idea right here. You can take another road course, brand new track, huge city. How about in the downtown streets of New York? I'd love to see NASCAR on a road course like you see Indy cars. How awesome would that be? You want to sell it out? That would do it.
Well, I think you got a better shot of Montreal or Road America or something like
New
that.
York.
So, I don't think New York's going to happen. I mean, they left New York. They used to have the banquet in New York and left for Vegas. So I think they got a better shot of having a road course through the streets of Las Vegas even though there's an oval there in Las Vegas. So.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, you know, one other thing about Junior. You were talking about him earlier. He's a little cut back in the sponsorships for 2013. His Mountain Dew is going to go to undisclosed amount of races sponsoring a major title. But again, no problem. Army National Guard still going to be there. But is that going to be a big problem for the team? And also, just elaborate a little bit on what he did on CBS this week, writing an open letter to his 16-year-old self. And one of the quotes I really liked in this was, "Living under your father's roof doesn't bridge the incredible gap between you and you guys. In due time, you will enjoy the most incredible relationship with him." So here he is. He's pouring his emotions out. He reads it, and they put a great video story behind it on CBS. And he really didn't want to do that at first, did he?
Well, to get to the sponsorship stuff, yeah, he said yesterday at Chicago that Mountain Dew was going to drop back a little bit, but he said they've got other suitors that are interested, and they don't anticipate any problems filling out the remaining races. The problem is it's a small amount of races, and just there's a lot of interest in trying to make it as valuable and worthwhile, and putting together the right mix with another company coming in. So there's not an issue there. He seemed pretty confident. So, you know, it's not like the 88 car is going to be all white one weekend or something like
no,
that.
No, that won't happen.
So, but as you talked about, yeah, he did a thing in CBS, and they have a regular, semi-regular feature called, Note to Self, and basically they ask different people. And I think they've even asked people such as Oprah Winfrey and others to write a note to their 16-year-old self, and what would they, with the knowledge that they have now, what would they tell that 16-year-old person then? And, it was something that, it was something a little different, so it intrigued him, but wasn't something he was quite sure about, but, talked to some people and thought it was a good idea to do. And, it was something that was pretty revealing.
Yeah.
And I think, if you're a Dale Earnhardt Jr. fan, it's worth getting on the internet, doing a search for the Dale Earnhardt Jr. Note to Self. And it's quite interesting. It's like a, 3-5 minute piece, and that's all it is. It's just him, reading a note to himself. And certainly you can find it online at different places.
We've got it on our Facebook page at Full Throttle Racing with Kane, so you can look that up. I hate to do it. We've got to go. This weekend's pick in 10 seconds. Who is it going to be?
I'll tell you what. Let's go with Dale Earnhardt Jr. and see what happens there.
You're just trying to get the fans. I'm going with Brostache. Mustache Man. Jeff Gordon takes it home. That's my thoughts. So where can we keep track of you through the time at the track, my friend?
On Twitter at Dustin Long, and as you say, various stories at USA Today, SportsIllustrated.com, AthlonSports.com, and some other places.
Well, Dustin, we appreciate it. Wrapping up the show, you have a good one, my friend.
All right, you too.
All right, there you go. Full Throttle Racing with Kane. Hurricane Motorsports taking the circus out the Sunny South Raceway. We appreciate you guys coming on board. God bless you. Be safe. We'll see you at the racetrack tonight, all over Facebook, and, of course, next weekend right here, and later podcast at usfdracing.org.